Jackson, W266DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a cyber extortion gang that's rocking agencies around the world, including here in the U.S. Correspondent Jared Hill has the story.
U.S. officials say a Russia-linked ransomware group called Klopp is responsible for a global cyber attack that has struck multiple U.S. agencies and NATO allies.
This ransomware group compromised a vulnerability in a widely used software.
That software is called MOVEit. Experts say it's a convenient way for governments and businesses to move large files. The cyber attack has affected the U.S. Department of Energy, multiple Johns Hopkins-affiliated hospitals, the University System of Georgia, the Minnesota Department of Education, and British Airways.
A new string of ferocious tornadoes has killed at least three people in the Texas Panhandle. Dozens more were injured in the town of Perryton near the Oklahoma border. Meteorologist Jeremy Grams at the Storm Prediction Center.
The specific tornado that hit Perryton was just a single storm, but it's a single storm embedded within a cluster of multiple storms. So there were multiple storms around that were producing very large hail as well as severe wind gusts.
Officials say one person died at a mobile home park where at least 30 trailers were damaged or destroyed. More than 160,000 customers have no power in Texas and Oklahoma. A 30-year-old man from the U.S. has been arrested in Germany after allegedly attacking two female tourists near Neuschwanstein Castle in Bavaria. One of them died. Correspondent MTS Tayab at the foreign desk.
German police say two American women, just 21 and 22 years old, were visiting the site like so many others, but were allegedly lured by a stranger to a nearby hiking trail and lookout point, where investigators say 30-year-old American man attacked them. The younger of the two was reportedly sexually assaulted before they were both pushed into a deep ravine, falling 165 feet.
9 days after hernia surgery, the Pope is back at the Vatican. Doctors at Gemelli Hospital in Rome have told the 86-year-old to take it easy as he continues his recovery. Francis smiled from his wheelchair, shook hands with his surgeon before he was transferred into the front seat of his car. When a reporter asked how he was, he told her, still alive. And it's one and done for a royal podcast.
Hi, guys. I'm Harry.
And I'm Meghan.
Duke and Duchess no longer in business with Spotify. In a joint statement, the streamer and Archwell Audio say they're ending their 2.5-year partnership. It comes on the heels of Spotify's announcement it'll cut 200 jobs as it reimagines its approach to podcasting. S&P futures up 4. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top five on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin
or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
And I know, isn't
Isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes! That's awesome!
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Monday, June 12th, 2023, hour number two, coming up at the bottom of the hour at 2:30. Our good friend, wonderful Madisonian, and Wisconsin Latin jazz icon, Tony Castaneda, will be here to discuss the Tony Castaneda Latin Jazz Sextet's return to the iconic Cardinal Bar here in Madison. Now, I think 2 weeks in, I was there on the premiere night with my friends Kurt and Florsky. Great performance by the Latin Jazz Sextet. Also talking about Tony's connection to the Kenosha and Racine area, particularly important. And I think you'll find it interesting for our folks listening down at WRJN, 1400 AM and 99.9 FM in Racine and Kenosha. I know there's a few, believe me, was at the Dem convention, state convention in Green Bay this weekend, heard from people who were not real happy, a little miffed that they have lost their oldies station in Racine and Kenosha. But we said, just give us a listen. Give us a chance. Tony Castaneda. That's going to be a name that will resonate with people in Racine and Kenosha. Stay tuned. He will be here at the bottom of the hour at 2:30 to talk about the Latin Jazz Sextet. Also, his advocacy for issues across the state of Wisconsin and just the history of music across the state of Wisconsin. Really great guy. He also has a radio program on WORT, Wart Radio, Community Radio, here in Madison, Wisconsin. I had the opportunity to be on his program on Wart last Thursday, and now he's returning the favor and coming on our show here today. Looking forward to that. Also talking about this breaking, I call it breaking news story, courtesy of our very own Kristen Bry, host of As Goes Wisconsin, can listen to it every day, 10 until noon, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Kristen Bry, Jane Matinere, great program. She was so kind as to forward me this just as we were going on the air last hour. The Republican Party of Wisconsin has sent out an email, a campaign fundraiser, and sent it to one of her friends who forwarded it on to her. It is legit. I have it in front of me. I'll leave the person's name out at the top. It says, "Dear Blank, we have some bad news for you. One of the largest liberal mega donors in Wisconsin just bought up 18 radio stations across the state. This purchase will result in the silencing of Fox News programming, and it's being replaced with left-wing propaganda.
Now, look, I'm going to stop there. I may be many things, but I am not a left-wing propagandist. I was born and raised in Richland Center, Wisconsin, a town of 5,000 people. My paternal grandparents were dairy farmers all their life. My maternal grandparents grew up on farms as well. No left-wing propaganda here. I hunt. I own firearms. I was part of the Republican Party for nearly 30 years. I helped elect more Republicans to the state, I have to admit, than probably 85 to 90% of the goose-stepping yahoos that'll be in La Crosse this weekend. I was there. I actually helped elect Republicans. I worked for Dale Schultz, the Senate Majority Leader in Wisconsin. A 98% Republican voter while I was in the Senate. I am many things. I am not a left-wing propagandist. So Brian Schimming, my good old friend Brian Schimming, who's now the chairman of the state Republican Party. I'll tell you, Brian, you know I am no left-wing propagandist. And yet this is where the Republican Party of Wisconsin is today. Sending out email fundraisers, attacking Civic Media Radio Network and the hosts, calling us left-wing propaganda. You want to know what the Republican Party is afraid of? The truth. The truth. That's why for so long they kept ignoring me. That's why I can't get Howard Markline, the chair of the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, to come on this program. Because he doesn't want to tell the truth. That's just a fact of it. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, Jeannie in Eau Claire. Jeannie, I will start out here. We may have to stop for the commercial break, but what say you?
Well, this is a news breaking story. It should be on every Golden News Network in our country. I mean, come on. And you know, they do not want any language, any statements over the air that contradict what they say, because they go through the whole day and on numerous, even the evangelical stations, spreading lies. And if truth comes out stating something different than what they're saying, it will interrupt, I got a funny name for it, cognitive neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
Where you say it over and over and over again, and they get it from different sources all day long. You have it in your head, but you don't know why. You can't justify it and that type of thing. So they don't want a break in what they're doing in the state of Wisconsin. And it shows they're pretty desperate. And they want to spread rumors before people even know about civic media. Well, it shows what they're up to.
That's right.
Thank you very much for your show.
We appreciate you listening up there at Eau Claire, the Tap 93.5 FM. Back with more. Don't go anywhere. Your phone calls after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WIS-VRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear today with a high of 72. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 52. High of 78. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Daytime highs approaching 81. Sunday, with a chance for scattered showers, 84. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. This is the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 2:15. Welcome back to hour number two of the show, along with our producer engineer, Mr. Evan Preston. Glad to have you along with us on a Thursday, June 15th, 2023. Don't forget, stay with us. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, 2:30, is Janet Ginsburg. She is a writer, producer, formerly of The Daily Show. Yes, that Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Spent a little bit of time there. Also has done some reality TV. Tells us a little bit about, I'm anxious to find this out. What happens, how real is reality TV? Because, I mean, you hear a lot of, well, it's actually staged. We'll ask her that, what her opinion is on reality TV. She has worked with a lot of big names out in Hollywood. So we will ask her that and what it's like being a writer as well as a producer, especially in the current conditions of the Writer Guild of America strike. That is coming up at the bottom of the hour. And again, congratulations to our listener in Green Bay for winning those tickets to the Milwaukee Brewers as they take on the Pittsburgh Pirates tomorrow night at 7:10 on the Milwaukee Brewers radio network, including WISS, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, and WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. Want to thank our last guest last hour, Jason Stein, the Vice President and Director of Research at Wisconsin Policy Forum, coming in, giving us a little background on school vouchers, on the funding for private schools and public schools. Want to go now to WIS Politics. And if you're not familiar with WIS Politics, you need to get there. Go to WIS Politics, that's WISPolitics.com. WIS Politics, great site. And they have a story online, legislature signs off on boost to choice and charter schools. Choice, charter, and special needs students would be in line for significant boosts in the state-funded vouchers they receive under legislation that cleared the legislature late last night. The bill was part of a broader package that GOP legislators struck with Dem Governor Tony Evers that included a boost in shared revenue and additional funding for K-12 schools. The shared revenue bill cleared the Senate early today on a bipartisan vote, while the K-12 funding was added to the budget by the Joint Finance Committee yesterday. The voucher bill is that third piece in the agreement. What is your opinion on this? If you're someone who sends your kid to a voucher school, I'd love to hear from you. If you're more of a public school advocate, if your kids go to a public school, we'd love to hear from you on this as well. Because there's two different schools, pun intended, two different schools of thought on this. All right? People have their own, you know, ideas of what's happening here. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Another great reporter, A.J. Biaport, now working for CBS 58 in Milwaukee. He writes this, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a bill last night increasing state funding for both public and private voucher schools. The sweeping education plan was a last-minute addition to an agreement between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Republican leaders in the Assembly and Senate over how to boost funding for local governments. In the final vote, only a quartet of Democratic lawmakers voted for the bill, which was part of the bigger compromise negotiated by the Evers administration. The Senate passed the bill 24-9, with all Republicans voting for it. Two Democratic senators, LaTanya Johnson and Lena Taylor, both of Milwaukee, joined Republicans in voting yes. The Assembly then passed the bill 62-21. And with the Senate, all Republicans voted in favor of the bill, while two Democrats joined them, both from the Milwaukee area, on the Assembly Democrats to support the bill. So there is a little bit of bipartisan breaking out here. But my big question is, who gets the better end of the stick? My personal feeling is that the voucher schools came out much better. What's your feeling? 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Reading on with the story from A.J. Biapour, Johnson said on the floor she supported Milwaukee families having quality public and choice school options, but opposed tying the school funding plan to the local government bill that funded Milwaukee's future, talking about this shared revenue bill. Her quote, "Governor Evers had a gun to his head," Johnson said. "Either he gave my colleagues what they wanted or Milwaukee into insolvency. And he chose to save Milwaukee." Progressives opposed the bill, maintained that conservatives got the better end of the deal because private schools enrolled in Wisconsin's choice program got a bigger increase in per student funding than public schools. Under the plan, Wisconsin would provide more than $1 billion in additional funding to K-12 public schools, and amounts to an increase of about $325 per student. Republicans said that increase made the bill a win for everyone. But private choice schools would see an increase of $1,100 per student at the K-8 level, according to a fiscal estimate submitted by the Department of Public Instruction. Private schools would receive an increase of nearly $3,000 per student. So $3,000 per student is not the same as $325 per student for the public schools. Who got the better end of the stick here? I think it's pretty obvious. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Can talk about this school funding or shared revenue, whichever you prefer. Let's go to Denise in Green Bay. Denise in Green Bay, welcome to the program. What say you? Well, hang on, Denise. You weren't on the air. Go ahead. Now you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. Charter, voucher, private schools won in a big way. And public schools are being significantly hurt.
And why do you say that? Just the money alone? All right, I guess that was – thanks for calling in. I agree with you. As I just said, this reporting by A.J. Biapour at CBS 58 in Milwaukee, doing a great job of it. I totally agree with that, that public schools just looked at the face of it, came up short. Let's go to Jack in Merrimack. Jack in Merrimack, welcome to the program, sir. What say you on school funding?
Well, first of all, let me give you a little background. I taught for over 40 years. I taught in all grades from sixth grade to about sophomore level college. Mm. I taught in public, private, and parochial school. First thing I want to say about it is this, putting money into private schools is the old robbing Peter to pay Paul trick. Mm. Those funds come from someplace, and you can't really fully support two complete educational systems. Second thing I want to say is the standardized testing on which so many of our Republican friends rely for quality of schools show no significant difference between public and private schools. Are there some better private schools? Yes. Are there some better public schools? Absolutely. But as far as I'm concerned, spending public money to support a private institution is welfare. That's all it is. It's welfare for the private school. Finally, school choice means just that. The school gets to choose. Public schools have to take everybody, but if there's somebody that is too expensive to deal with in private schools, they don't get the help they need. And I know, because when I was in teaching in a private school, that's exactly what I was told. I had a couple of kids that had some problems that, in fact, their staff in that private school was trained to work with. I went to the administration. I said, these guys need help. Here are the people that can help them. They said, we can't do that. We don't have the money.
Jack, so, I could not have asked for a better caller if I had mixed it up, recruited you myself, and I didn't. I really appreciate calling. As someone who taught in the public and private school, explain to people in a minute or so here, Jack, explain what you just said in terms of, you know, if there's a kid that has a disciplinary problem and the private school could kick him out. The private school doesn't have to take him, whereas the public school, you're stuck with that kid regardless. Am I correct? Hang on, Jack. You're not on the air. Hang on.
Just... Yeah, but it's not just that. It is other special ed needs students as well. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was talking about in this particular case. But if there's a kid with discipline problems, a private school can look at that and say, in his background, we don't want anything to do with him. Mm-hmm. Graduation rates might be better in the private school. My personal opinion, and this is an opinion, not based on any statistical evidence. Yeah. But my personal opinion is that's because they get to choose whom they can take. And the people that really have trouble passing in schools in general, they won't take somebody like that.
Jack, you're 100% right. I come from a family of educators. You're 100% right. Thank you, Jack, for calling in from Merrimack. Let's go down to Mark in the Sack. Mark in the Sack, what say you?
Yeah, I think that the voucher schools made ours a whole lot better than the public schools, and I'm a product of a public school education. And I was reading in high school level when I was in sixth grade. I mean, that's due to the fact that I was read to when I was a child. They all kinds of books were on when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question that just popped into my head. Was Scott Jensen involved in lobbying this at all? In the
he's still around. He's still a lobbyist. I don't know for sure. My guess is yes, but I don't know that for a fact.
Because that's a real burr under my blanket. Because the guy should never been allowed to be a lobbyist again, except for the machinations of Brad Schimmel, who was the Waukesha district attorney, county attorney at the time, and got a change of venue for him and. Got the charges dismissed in Dane County before he committed the crime, moved to friendly Waukesha County. You know, I wonder if Mr. Schimmel is getting any money from the people who paymasters of Scott Jensen and is for his judicial campaigns, the American Family Institute or something like that, I turn back to a little reference in a history book that I had about the, I don't know if it was the Persians or the Babylonians who took judicial corruption rather seriously. If a judge was convicted of...
Mark, I'm sorry I got to cut you off. I got another caller. Thanks for calling in. Mark on the Sack, as always, really appreciate you. I want to get Denise real quick. Denise, you got about 45 seconds. I apologize, but I'm against the clock. What say you?
Well, public schools were the losers in this legislation. They really needed $1,510 just to keep up with inflation, and they didn't get it. They've been underfunded since 2010, and they continue to lose. And they're providing a lot of services to private schools. And the vouchers for special ed are much higher, and we're only getting 33% reimbursement in public schools, and yet we're providing the services to private schools. So,
Denise, appreciate your call. Thank you so much. I'm against the clock, but I agree with you. You're absolutely right. Stay tuned. We've got Janet Ginsburg next on the Todd Allbowles Show.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Cruz on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A cyber criminal gang in Russia is suspected in an attack targeting agencies and universities around the world, including here in the U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor Ann Neuberger.
This criminal group has started to put the data that they extorted out on the dark web because they're trying to get companies to pay for it.
A tornado has killed at least 3 people in Texas. The National Storm Prediction Center's Jeremy Grams.
The specific tornado that hit Perrington was just a single storm, but it's a single storm embedded within a cluster of multiple storms. So there were multiple storms around that were producing very large hail as well as severe wind gusts.
A bus trip to a casino turned deadly for a group of senior citizens in Canada. Rob Hill with the Royal Mounted Police.
We've been able to establish that 15 people have been confirmed deceased as a result of this collision. 10 people were transported to hospital with various injuries.
Officials say a semi-trailer hit the bus. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Walpole Pond area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes! That's awesome!
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Allbowles Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
All right.
Hello?
Hello.
Janet, how are you? Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, of course. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you for coming on the show. I was just saying to introduce you there. You've been involved with a lot of different networks and entertainment industry places like Showtime, Discovery, CNN, HBO Max, National Geographic, BBC, among several. Really cool to be able to talk to somebody and give us a little behind-the-scenes perspective.
Yes, yes. Well, what kind of perspective would you like to hear about? There's so many.
Well, first, I always like to just, for our listeners that don't know you, don't know your work, tell us a little bit about where you're from and your background a little bit, how you got into the writing and producing field.
Sure. Okay. Well, I am currently in Southern California, Los Angeles, which I'm actually a native of Los Angeles. Definitely a little cloudier here than usual, but I'm sure people in Wisconsin love to hear Californians complain about the weather. So I'll hold off on that. And basically, you know, I always wanted to write. And my whole life, I kind of was pushing toward that. I ended up going to a film program. And then I got out of school. I worked in magazines. And then basically, I kind of was, you know, it was pretty much the very beginning era of kind of the documentary reality world when I was sort of coming up. And so that's kind of where I ended up going. There was a lot of freedom back then. Nobody was really paying, you know, they weren't paying attention. It was a cheap form of programming. So you had kind of a lot of carte blanche to make really fun and interesting shows, which I think is sort of why it ended up exploding so much. And, you know, and then basically, for better or for worse, I just sort of stuck it out and I've pretty much been in that kind of world ever since.
What were some of the first reality shows that you worked on?
The first thing that I worked on was at E! Entertainment Television, and it was I worked on Fashion Emergency, which was at the time a very popular show that nobody really remembers probably, and then I did some of their Emmy specials and just, you know, lots of E! Obviously in those days was all very celebrity focused. So just, you know, watching a lot of celebrities do a lot of press information, kind of cutting that down into something that was fun and interesting.
So when we see these reality shows, and now of course they're all over the place, how much of it is really reality and how much of this stuff is staged?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I don't tend to work in those shows so much, but the information is pretty much the same across the board, which is these, you know, it really does depend on the show.
Right.
There are shows where, you know, you just kind of go in, you know, you're going to talk to a person who's kind of a showman, and, you know, you can just let them go and kind of see what happens. There's other shows where, you know, you film somebody who's, if any life, you took a look at any life for 40 hours a week, not that exciting. But when you kind of cut it, if we take, say, just an average person's life, if you take, you know, the best 40 minutes of that week, it's going to be entertaining one way or another. And sometimes you can kind of anticipate what's going to come and what you want to focus on. And sometimes you let it rip. And then other times they're real scripted. So that's really kind of the hallmark, I think, of what a producer can do in reality documentary TV.
How much because you're a writer and a producer, but how much pressure is there? And I'm not necessarily talking about your own experience, but just being in the industry and knowing other people, how much do you think in general is on the producer by higher ups, the network or whomever you might say, to say, well, you have to massage this, you have to manipulate it in order to make it more interesting to get better ratings?
I mean, that definitely can. It can definitely happen. It's usually not so bald. It's more like, you know, they want to see something that they think is funnier or better or more shocking. And you might not agree.
Right.
But, you know, it really, like so many things in life, is very dependent on what show you're working on and what situation. Like, for example, if you do a true crime show, there's no pressure to do that because you can get into some, you know, hot water.
Right.
You can't play too much with, you know, court cases and people's actual lives. So they can be sensationalized with music or with certain things, but, you know, those, you don't tend to make too much stuff up in those shows.
Have you ever
but
been?
If it's, you know.
Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead, sorry. But I was just going to say, if it's like, where's Atlantis? You might find yourself making more up on a show like that.
So have you ever been part of a pitch, like to a network executive or a studio?
I've written them, and, you know, I've been in the room on a few things,
So what's that? Like, for people that don't know, I mean, this is, the pitch is basically when you have an idea and you're a producer or whatever, and you're going in to get the green light or get the funding, and this is like the kind of the do or die moment, you know, from the outside, that's how we perceive it. Is that in reality? I mean, is it like the old Seinfeld episode where, you know, you go in and pitch this to Warren Littlefield or whatever, NBC, or is it that kind of casual, or is there a lot more to it?
Oh, there's definitely some sales energy. it's really like, I wish I could remember what this was, but there was something I saw once that a person was talking about, how it's really just like a lot of it comes down to kind of getting people excited about the idea, which really is what sales is anyway. And that's kind of what happens. There's a transference, and, you know, if people are excited, and if it also has to kind of meet what they're looking for. They all have goals, what kind of shows they're trying to find. But, like, you know, it can be really kind of a rush when those things go well. And it can be not so much of a rush. You can definitely tell if you're drowning as it's happening. But sometimes you can turn it around. You know?
Right, right. Have you ever been, like, in a pitch or with a meeting with it? I'm not going to tell you, I ask you to name names or anything, but have you ever been in a pitch or with a studio or an executive, and you know you've nailed this and you've got it down, it's a great idea, and this Yahoo just is completely nutso and says, how about this person, you know, being X, Y, and Z, and you're like, is this person in reality?
Yeah. Have I? Yes.
I mean, what do you think? You put in all the work, and then you get this nut job. I mean, go ahead.
I try to, my approach to television and life is kind of similar in the sense that I believe in radical acceptance.
I like
so
that.
So I try to look at the situation that's happening, and I try to accept it as what's happening and see what the best approach is and what the best way to take this is. And if there's something I can salvage out of it or build on, you know, sometimes somebody has an idea and you're like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And like a week later, you're the biggest fan of it. You love it the most because you've somehow clicked into what they were seeing, you know? So you gotta keep an open mind is how I kind of look at it.
Are you part of the Writers Guild of America?
I am not. Unfortunately, most people in documentary and reality are not part of the guild, which is kind of a legacy of when that industry sort of started. You know,
sure.
It was cheaper programming, which is why it kind of became so big. So, unfortunately, no, I'm not part of that union or those struggles. But, you know, the impact of that is interesting because there's been times where when the guild would go on strike, a lot of work would flow to the kind of reality world. And this time it's a little different because there's so much streaming television.
I wondered about that. Are we going to see – because I've talked to other people that are, you know, tangentially involved. They're saying this strike could go into next year. And so your first thought is, oh, we're just going to see all kinds of reality programming this fall. Is that your sense or not?
You know, I don't know. It's really a good question. That's definitely what happened the last time there was a strike. But, I would be wary of guessing that only because there's so much content. I mean, not to put myself out of a job, but if no one ever made a second of television again, you know, you could watch television until your eyes popped out. And you'd never see the same thing twice.
Right.
So... And now there's other mediums and there's other formats that also, you know, vie for people's attention. So you've really got to get good ideas and you've really got to get kind of fun things out there for people to stop and say, okay, I'm purposely going to watch this.
How is that?
So
how is
definitely,
that? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, it's definitely kind of, it's challenging time, but that's kind of always when exciting stuff happens.
How has this affected you, this move to streaming now and content on demand? How has that affected you from a writer and a producer of how you develop ideas for production?
Yeah. Definitely, it's made everything faster, and it's generally made a lot of things cheaper.
Really?
I mean... You know, not to dismantle the dream machine.
Right. I mean, like, in terms of like the people that, you know, like the size of your production crew, or how has it made it cheaper?
Oh, yeah, that's one way. I mean, you just got, you know, just looking at it from a purely business standpoint, like any other business, if there is a lot of content, that's a lot of opportunity, but you don't get the same kind of premium for it. And it has to be done much quicker. And, you know, people are making shows about something, you know, you're also competing against an immediate medium now with the internet and social media. So, you know, something happens, somebody has cut together a show on it in months, not a year.
Wow. That's incredible.
So, you know, that kind of stuff is difficult to compete with. You just have to really go further in depth or have a fresh, very unique take on it. But I would say it's both created a lot of opportunities, and then it's kind of changing the nature of some of the opportunities. You know, when I started working, you would have, without fail, you'd have 8 months to kind of wrap up a show in post-production easily. And I mean, now you don't even get half that. It's very quick, you know.
Wow. That's incredible.
So just like everything else, that's kind of the, you know, the economic reality of making television is kind of sometimes it's what drives the industry, basically.
We are talking with Janet Ginsberg. She is a writer-producer in Hollywood. We appreciate her time with us today. A couple of minutes before the first break, Janet, and one of the shows that you did or helped produce was on National Geographic called Story of God with Morgan Freeman, one of the people that I have always been fascinated with. Give us a little insight. What's he like to work with? What's he like as an artist?
Oh, man. He is not an intimidating person, but he is an intimidating presence. Like, he's fantastic, but, you know, it's Morgan Freeman. It's the
right?
voice of God. If he tells you to hand him something, you do it. It's really funny. Like the first, I remember him making a joke with me, you know, kind of in a grumpy joke.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, you know, get out of here. I had no idea he was joking. I was like, oh man, I can't, this man with this voice is just, so he's great. He, you know, that show was epic. It was a all around the world kind of show.
Yep.
And, you know, 70 days, one after the other for the people who traveled out in the field. On that show,
wow.
We didn't travel, but just, you know, you're calling Notre Dame and the Vatican and trying to get the Pope to talk to you. It's crazy.
Right?
It's crazy, but we really got some beautiful, beautiful stuff out of that and very thoughtful stuff and really unique people. And yeah, he's just awesome. He's
That's
like
great.
The most professional person. Like sitting in a room and hearing him say something you wrote down is just like, I can't believe this is happening.
That'll give me goosebumps to hear my writing come out of Morgan Freeman's mouth. Stay with us. So we have Janet Ginsberg. She is a writer-producer. We're going to ask her about her time on The Daily Show. Give us some insight on the Todd Allball Show after this on Civic Media's Radio Network.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lots of sunshine today with highs around 72. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight, lows around 52. High of 78. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 81. Sunday, with a chance for scattered rain showers. 84. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. That is 2:50 on the time and temperature sign on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at 3 o'clock, network news across the state of Wisconsin. And then it is Matt Flynn Direct with our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn. Do not miss it. Always informative. Give you a chuckle as well. Matt Flynn Direct after the news at the top of the hour. Right now we have the honor and privilege of having with us Janet Ginsburg live from the Hollywood Hills, or at least Los Angeles area. She is a writer and a producer. One of the things, Janet, we appreciate you being with us, and you started, or at least one of the things you started on, was something that's near and dear to Wisconsinites' heart, particularly those of us here in Madison, The Onion. You're a veteran or an alum of The Onion.
That's right, yes. That is my Wisconsin comedic roots.
How long did you work for The Onion?
Oh, gosh. I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of year and a half. Very early on, I was lucky. You know, it was back then notoriously difficult to get started or get into it. It was like all local Wisconsinites who kind of had grown up together. And yeah. I was fortunate enough to, I just took a shot. And I was like, I don't have, you know, if I fail, I already don't have a job at The Onion. So what's the worst thing?
What do you got to lose, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it worked out. It changed my life. There were so many amazing people there, and it was like just the best. For my money, it's still like top tier comedy what we were doing then, and yeah, just awesome.
Fantastic. One of the other great shows that you've worked on, something that I love, The Daily Show, and with Jon Stewart at the time. What was it like to be on that show and just to be in that environment? And I guess, what point were you working on the show? Because whether it's Stephen Colbert or, you know, so many others that came out of that show, it had to be an amazing opportunity to be around that talent.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty much the height of the show. And in fact, one of my first pieces there was John Oliver's first piece for the show.
Wow, really?
So, yeah. So, and he was like, firing on all cylinders right away. He's just hilarious and game. I had him running around in like 2 foot high snow back and forth. He had no problem with it, loved it. You know, he was obviously just like going to be a huge star, which of course he is.
Right.
It was amazing. It was like the type of thing where like you walk in there at 9:30 in the morning and, you know, they've got to have a show before the end of the day, and everybody there was just an enormous talent, and it's kind of amazing, kind of crazy they were able to make something on that pace and do it for so long.
What's it like to like you say, you go out in the morning, and one of the keys to those kind of shows is, you know, being relevant in the news of that day or last 24-hour, 12-hour cycle. Are people just going nuts? Are they scatterbrained or not scatterbrained, but is there this sense of just urgency and like, what the hell are we going to do? Or is it just kind of a calmness throughout the day?
Oh, it is like the most professional, calmest,
really?
Going nuts you've ever seen. Like, people who are just So they are aware, obviously, of the amount of pressure they have to put that show together. You know, they're going to tape it that night. But, I mean, you couldn't have that job if you didn't have a very particular disposition. Like, the people putting it together, putting together the relevant, like, timely day-to-day aspects of it are just, like, trust them with your life because they can do anything and just be incredibly calm about it.
One of my favorite programs right now streaming is The Problem with Jon Stewart. And give us some insight as someone who's been around Jon Stewart or at least worked on the show. I mean, his brain, to have the comedic timing and that part, but also just the intelligence side of this. He's a fantastic interviewer.
Yeah, he's brilliant. What's funny is I actually have a good friend who's working on that show now. And
really?
It's funny you mentioned the pace and then go to that, because I can tell you that's one thing. That show is a lot more relaxed.
Okay, I bet.
I think, you know, that gives everybody kind of a chance to kind of spread out, you know. So I think he's probably pretty happy in that element because he gets time to do things in a real, not serious manner, but, you know, a daily show is a grind.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting. And now I think they have a little bit more room to kind of get into some topics they care about and really take, like, a very personal John kind of look at him.
In your opportunity of being at The Daily Show, did you have a lot of time, like, around Jon Stewart? Like, I mean, just, what kind of a guy is he? Is he somebody who's kind of friendly and egalitarian and putting the show together? Or is it like, no, this is what I want to do and this is what we're going to do?
No, he's pretty great. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of time, period, when you're making the type of show that we were. So it's not like you're just sitting there shooting the breeze, because there's quite a bit going on. And depending on what aspect you're in, I was not a daily writer there. I was doing the field pieces, which is the ones where they kind of went out and talked to some, you know, somebody who had something to say.
Right,
they found someone. And so we're doing a lot of traveling and running around, and then you come back and you kind of work through the pieces with them. John would sit down and watch them, and you kind of go through everything with them. So you're there kind of, you're setting up for the pieces and workshopping them before you go, and then you're out in the field making them, and you come back and kind of put them together. But even that's pretty rapid. There's pretty much no time to think.
I can only imagine. About 2 minutes left in the show. It always goes quickly. But Janet Ginsburg, what are two of your top projects that you've taken from conception and made into reality? Something that's near and dear to your heart.
Oh, gosh. That's really a crazy, tough question, especially with 2 minutes left.
I'm sorry. I should have asked you sooner.
Since I can't think of the answer, I'll just mention a show I actually worked on that's going to be premiering on Saturday for the Nat Geo Wild program, which is Extraordinary Birder, which is a birding show with Christian Cooper, which is a first. Not a lot of birding on TV. Kind of a challenge to figure out how you're going to make that exciting. But, I think it turned out great. He's fantastic and very funny, and the birds were amazing. So that's coming on this Saturday, and I believe it'll be on Disney and Hulu on the 21st.
That's fantastic. Anybody who might be listening says, I like to be in television or writing. Advice to them.
Oh, give me a call.
I've heard other people say, just start writing. Just do it every day and practice the craft.
You can make it happen. Basically, if it's really something you want, it's like anything else. If you really want it, you can do it. And the more you do it from your own heart and from your own ability, the more unique you are and the better you're going to do. So, you know, if you have, like anything else, if you've got a dream, you want to do it, you got to go after it.
Janet Ginsburg, you have done it remarkably well. We appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us today. Writer, producer, and we'll hopefully talk to you again soon. Thank you so very much for being here. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, Todd. Thank you.
My pleasure. That is Janet Ginsburg. She is a writer and producer in Hollywood. Amongst her many travels was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. We appreciate the insight. We appreciate our other guests as well, Phil Nee and Henry Bray, on calling that great game on WRCO. The Ithaca Bulldogs are Division IV state baseball champions. We appreciate Phil and Henry being here. Also, Jason Stein, Vice President and Director of Research at Wisconsin Policy Forum. And, of course, Janet Ginsburg for being here as well. And above all, you for listening. Our producers, Aaron Zommer and Mr. Evan Preston as well. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned now for Matt Flynn Direct right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, whatever you believe in, keep fighting for it and keep banging your drum.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top five on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.